Welcome to Global Talk, an international affairs podcast from The National. I'm Justin Vella. Today is Tuesday, August 12th. On the line is Hugh Naylor, a reporter for the newspaper currently in Gaza City. So Hugh, at the moment there's a temporary ceasefire between Hamas and Israel in Gaza. Do the Palestinians there believe a lasting ceasefire can be reached, and what are they doing now that there is this pause in fighting?
I think the sentiment on whether or not a lasting ceasefire can be reached is mixed. There's hope that one can be reached, but there's also a concern that a ceasefire may not include some of the key demands of the Palestinians, foremost of which is the lifting of the Israeli siege, which is backed by Egypt, on Gaza. Without that being addressed, I think people will determine that the fighting that has taken place over the last month will have been a failure. Now, Hamas is also demanding certain things such as a reinstatement of a seaport and an airport, and the Israelis are saying that they would not accept that. And so these are during negotiations in Cairo. So it's unclear what the result of these ceasefire negotiations will be. But I imagine that there could be a loosening of the Israeli siege, but the demands that Hamas has been putting forward will not have been fully met. How those are perceived on the ground here, it's unclear. In terms of what people are doing to take advantage of this ceasefire, this temporary ceasefire, people are going about trying to live their daily normal lives despite the vast destruction in Gaza and the large number of people who have been killed during the fighting. People are in the streets buying food, shops are open, and people are trying to get by. That said, there's been so many displaced people by the fighting, and so many neighborhoods or large areas of Gaza have been destroyed that there's definitely a refugee crisis, an internal refugee crisis that's happening here, where people are being are unable to go to homes, return to homes because they've been destroyed, and they're living in UN schools that are overcrowded, and have difficult conditions. So the situation is still very difficult for people here.
And in today's paper, you have a story that looks at the difficulties Palestinians face when they try to pursue legal measures against Israel following the deaths of family members or the destruction of their homes. Because of these challenges, many Palestinians want to join the International Criminal Court. Could you tell us why the Palestinians have not pushed harder over the years to join the ICC, and about Fayez Salha, the Palestinian man you profiled in the story?
The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and the PA leadership in the West Bank have come under firm Israeli, American, as well as European pressure not to accede to the Rome Statute of the ICC, to become part of the ICC, partly because there are claims that this could affect peace negotiations with Israel, and I think also because the United States, which is a firm ally of Israel, doesn't want to see Israel face what could be very, very serious implications in terms of war crimes investigations that could be launched against it. So for those reasons, the Palestinians have been pressured not to join. And I think there could be threats of withholding Western aid money to the PA and to the Palestinians in general, as well as potential Israeli retaliation. So those are reasons why Palestinian officials have been reluctant to join the ICC. That said, given the outcome of this war, the civilian casualties and the large amount of destruction in Gaza, it will be very difficult for the Palestinian leadership, both in the West Bank and Hamas in Gaza, not to pursue the ICC, because according to human rights organizations, Palestinian, International, and even some Israeli rights lawyers will tell you that the ability of the Israelis to conduct internal, impartial allegations and investigations into alleged war crimes is seriously deficient. So the Palestinians need an alternative, and that is the ICC. And that said, you know, if the Palestinians do join the ICC, that could also place Hamas under potential investigation because of its indiscriminate fire of rockets into Israel. And Hamas does not, as far as I know, and I believe most people here know, conduct internal investigations into these alleged war crimes. And so that could be a potential issue if the Palestinians join the ICC. However, most Palestinians believe that the benefits of joining the ICC would outweigh the potential side effects or the drawbacks in terms of Hamas being investigated.
And could you also tell us a little bit about Fayez Saha, the Palestinian man you profiled in the story?
Fayez Saha, during Israel's cast-led operation in 2008 and 2009, lost six members of his family because of an Israeli airstrike on his home at around 3 a.m. on January 9th, 2009. He, with the help of Palestinian rights organizations in Gaza, has lodged criminal complaints against with the Israeli military over the incident, and as well as damages complaints in an Israeli civil court. Those two legal avenues went nowhere. Most Palestinians will tell you that those legal avenues go nowhere. And so he feels, like many Palestinians here, that there's no justice for what he and rights groups say was an attack on a civilian home, his home, that killed his family for no justifiable reason. And so because of that, he hopes that the Palestinians will join the ICC. And I think it's important to note that in the investigations, the Israeli investigations that happened after Cast-Lead, there were only four indictments of soldiers. And the most severe punishment that was doled out to one of the soldiers was over credit card theft. So people will say that that is evidence of an inability of Israel to investigate itself properly when it comes to such issues.
And in another recent story, you traveled with a photographer from one end of the Gaza Strip to the other and saw the extent of the destruction following the recent fighting. Could you describe the trip for us?
I think before I describe that, I think it's important to note that the road that Heidi Levine, the photographer who I drove with, the road that we took, Salah Ad-Din Street, which is the main thoroughfare running all the way from the north to the far south, a 45-kilometer road, that area did not bear the brunt of destruction during the fighting. There are areas away from that road where you had entire neighborhoods destroyed. I'm thinking Shajaiya, Khuza, parts of Rafah, and Khan Yunis. And still, what we saw just driving on that road on an afternoon was vast in terms of destruction. You had leveled homes, destroyed mosques, large holes on the side of the road that were, from what residents said, were F-16 strikes. It just looked like miniature lakes filling with sewage water. You had tanks that had driven over the road and chewed up the asphalt. You had factories. One factory was a biscuit factory, a large one, and it was just completely burnt and perforated with artillery holes. So the destruction is vast, and Palestinian officials have estimated roughly that the cost to rebuild Gaza could be as high as $6 billion just from the damage of this war alone.
Now that there is this lull in fighting, what kind of sentiments are you hearing from Gazans regarding Hamas? Has the conflict bolstered their backing in Gaza or eroded it?
I think in terms of Hamas's ability to fight, Hamas fought very hard, and it surprised a lot of people, including people in Gaza. I think there is a large sense of pride in that the Hamas was able to fight back so hard. And they are hopeful that the perceived success of Hamas in this fighting will yield benefits in terms of these ceasefire negotiations. I think they're aware that it's a tricky situation because at the end of the day, Israel is far more powerful than Hamas. I don't think it's willing to yield as much as what Hamas and other factions here want in terms of conditions for a lasting ceasefire. So if what Hamas accepts is lower than the expectations of what everyday Gazans want in terms of improvements in their life, that could be dangerous for Hamas because people may begin asking, why did Hamas fight this war that ended up killing so many people? If the end result was lower than the expectations that we had for them and the end result did not provide meaningful change on the ground for them.
There are some reports that say discussions for a lasting ceasefire include the Palestinian Authority taking over control of at least some areas of Gaza from Hamas. Do you think that this will be welcomed in Gaza? What's the feeling towards the Palestinian Authority there? If they do take over some areas, do you think that there'll be some kind of conflict between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas?
In terms of being welcomed, if the PA returning with some sort of presence to Gaza coincides with an improvement to the living conditions here, primarily the lifting of the siege, then I believe people in Gaza will be happy to see that if it translates into the betterment of their lives. So from that perspective, I think it could be accepted depending on how the perceived benefits are realized in terms of everyday Palestinians. However, I do think that there could be serious friction and potential clashes with Hamas and other armed factions in Gaza because of the animosity with Fatah, despite their reconciliation agreement that was renewed in June. So there is a possibility for clashes, but I think it depends in large part on how beneficial Palestinians here see the terms of the ceasefire. If it translates, like I said, into a lifting of the siege and an improvement of their lives, then I think there would be pressure from them on Hamas to allow the PA here. But it's all dependent on the end results.
You've been listening to a conversation with Hugh Naylor, who's currently in Gaza City. To read more of Hugh's stories, visit thenational.ae.